two people that I'd like to introduce to you. I have a great deal of respect for. And when we were singing that song up there, I Give My Life Away, I was thinking about you guys. I know that you don't just do that once. You don't just give your life away once. Because, every day is a new day. And it's like, okay, Lord, I begin this day and I give my life to you. Okay, Lord, I get. But you guys, for me, are the epitome of, like, giving your life away. Maybe not the epitome, but certainly somewhere in there. Because I have an incredible respect for you. You know, Jeff and Robin Wood were in our community. Robin grew up in our community. She brought her parents to North County Christian Fellowship, was part of our youth group and our ministry, graduated from school here. You know, then she met Jeff, you know, somewhere around that path. I don't really know why she even fell in love with the guy. I mean, you know, but they got their teaching credentials. They were hired, and they were teachers in, I think it was San Miguel school system. Or were you both teaching in San Miguel? You were in Paso, is that right? At Flamson. And so they, I mean, it's like for them, I mean, they had, their life was set. I mean, you know, I got my direction. I got the stuff. I mean, you're a teacher. You got the benefits of being a teacher. I mean, just imagine all of that. And then God knocks on the door of their heart and says, give all that up and follow me. And I remember talking with their parents, with your parents about this. It's like they're going, whoa, I mean, you know, you're leaving school. You're leaving this teaching job, you know, to go and be, to work with Campus Crusade and work in missions, really. It was a missions, and you're doing that? And it's like, yeah, we just feel the call. They sold their house. You guys sold your house. You gave your life away. And they have been ministering on college campuses. I don't know how many different campuses. You started on one, and then you went to another, and now you're settled at Santa Barbara, UCSB. Down there. You've been working there for how many years? 10 years? 10 years down there. Working with college kids, you know, go to school, you know, and they do mission work and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, it's, to me, when I was singing that song, I was thinking about you guys. And before we're done today, I really want to put you back out here in the middle and pray over you again. You know, and just ask God's blessing on you and continued his presence. So they are one of our missionaries that serve in a variety of capacities. They aren't serving actually on the foreign mission field right now, although they do have opportunities to train people and go there themselves, and they have some support teams that they work with that are in foreign fields that they, she's going to tell you about that, I think. They'll tell you about that. But I have it's really a privilege to have them here today and share with us a little bit about what they're doing in their ministry. So would you welcome Jeff and Robin Woods this morning, please?
Well, that's a very, very nice introduction, and I think the way I would like to start off is just to say the hero here today is the Lord, right? And it's easy, with that kind of introduction, it's like, whew, I'm feeling good about myself, right? But hopefully what you get from our little bit of time here to share with you is that we're not the heroes of this morning or the amazing things that God has done through our ministry. It's not because of us, but God's just doing his thing. And as far as being sent and going, we are sent from this church. This is the church where we made all the decisions of, are we really going to do this thing? Yes, we made that choice, but we couldn't have done it without you. And really, all of us are called to be a part of God's big story in bringing people of your community into relationship with him and giving them that opportunity. So hopefully you hear that this morning, even though we are going to highlight some things. Hopefully all of our stories, God is the hero of all of our stories. I mean, it's pretty amazing to see the band up here. I'm like, that is an incredibly talented band. And they're the heroes of right now. No. God's the hero, right? Everything's pointing to him. And so hopefully each of the things of our lives reflect that.
All right. Hi. I know. So, yeah, I'm Robin, and we've worked with Crew for just over 10 years. And we were in San Diego initially, and now we're in Santa Barbara, kind of like Steve said. And we love it. It's such a privilege to work in college ministry. We met through Campus Crusade at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, and like on a spring break mission trip, and started dating, got married right out of school. And we kind of always just kept thinking, oh, the college campus, like that's just such a influential time in people's lives, and that would be really neat someday to go back and do ministry in that. And so that's where we ended up, and it's been really fun. We have three girls, Sydney, Hayden, and Bryn, 8, 6, and 4. And I was just telling someone before the service, oh, we're kind of like out of that baby stage, like into the years where you can go on a long road trip and only stop once for a bathroom break. It's like so easy. Isn't it so much easier, Jocelyn? It's like, yes. But, yeah, it's just really fun to raise our kids on staff with Crew. The girls love having college students in our home, and we're able to, you know, have Friday morning Bible study. This year we did a co-ed senior Bible study. And we just, you know, if you provide food, the college students come. It's really all it is. I can feel good about myself. Oh, we must lead such a great Bible study. It's just because we provide food. If there was no food, they wouldn't come. And there's Holy Spirit working too. But yeah, no, it was really a great year, and it was fun. A highlight of our year was our last Bible study. This was a few weeks ago. And we were having each student share just, what did you learn in college? What was the one thing that stood out in college? And just hearing the different stories. And Isabella Kochovic, she became a Christian. She was involved with the Bible study with us her freshman year in the dorms, didn't know anyone. Someone knocked on her door, invited her to a Bible study. So she started coming. All the girls that she got connected with that year, they were in Bible study continuing on through sophomore year, going to fall retreats, going to spring conferences. We put on a lot of kind of weekend getaways, kind of get them out of their intense college party scene, and sort of these little retreats. And it really helps our students grow and connect with the Lord. So she went on a summer mission to Alaska, and then, yeah, senior year was in our Bible study, and now she's going to East Asia, to China, as a missionary for a year. And it's just so sweet to hear her story and to go, wow, you didn't know the Lord 4 years ago. That's crazy. Crazy how much has happened in her life. So it was just really fun to kind of go around the room. And then another girl, she wants to be an accountant, and she's always wanted to work with numbers. And she was kind of like, oh, I'm not doing full-time ministry, but, you know, I feel like I want to be an accountant. And Jeff and I are like, no, like, you are sent into the marketplace as a light, as a follower of Christ, and you're going to make an impact as an accountant. And you're just as much called to do that as someone else in full-time ministry. And so I feel like we're constantly kind of like training up our students and sending them out to the world to just make an impact wherever they're at. And I believe that for all of you, too. I said that last service that, you know, you guys are, you're the light in your neighborhoods and on your, you know, kids' soccer teams, as you interact with parents. That's really what we are. We're disciples wherever we're at, and we're making disciples of people. So I just encourage you with that, and to someone's had that as a word during worship. That was so beautiful, that wherever we're at, like, we are going to be hands and feet of the Lord. So yeah, that's something really sweet that we've been trying to kind of ingrain in our students and in their minds as they transition to the workplace. So
yeah, I think one of the things that we're really that you see in that late high school to college, end of college years, whether students or people are in college or not, just that age of your life is really where a lot of our students go from belief to conviction. And so they maybe believe in something, maybe it was their parents' religion, or maybe they just, like me, late in high school, that's when I believed in God and started my relationship with Him. And it was through those college years that it became this conviction, this unshakable conviction of, like, this is so real that even if I'm having unbelief, I'm still not shaken from this. I can seek out answers, and I can pursue this and really see my life play out on this trajectory towards the Lord, even though it's not always clear where He's taking me, or maybe I'm having a bad day or something, but God's right there with me. And so I think that is it's something that we love to see. And now that we've been on staff for 10 years, we've had, you know, 6 full classes of students from freshman year to their senior year that have gone through. And it's just this revolving door of students. And so you get to see so much life change year after year. And really that point of from belief to conviction where these students are going out and they're like, I'm going to be following the Lord for my life. My circumstances won't change that, you know. And then we get to see that some of these students, 10 years out of college now, and they're, you know, raising their own kids and they're making an impact in their communities and in their churches. And so, so we wanted to thank you for being a part of this, whether you know this or not. This church is one of our strong supporters for years and years and years, ever since we started this. As well as individuals in here, I see the works. I worked. not only do they, the works support us financially, but every single year for the last how many years? 6 years? 5th year. Yeah. We take all of our guys, or a bunch of our crew guys from Santa Barbara, about 50 guys, and we drive on up to the work ranch and take over the work ranch for the weekend and have a men's retreat up there. And we love it, and it's just, and our students absolutely love it. We're like, oh, you know.
Yeah, they all want to be George.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I want to be George Work someday.
Yeah, and it's just an amazing thing. You know, we're like, oh, we could go to a different place. And we're like, no, we got to go back to the work ranch and stuff. So there's just, you know, different individuals in here that you guys have been along this journey with us. And so I made this video with one of Robin's disciples named Nicole Kim. And she is going to be the narrator of this little video. It's a little 3-minute video. And if you listen to the words, it kind of plays out just what our ministry is about, as well as a thank you for being a part of it.
God is changing lives in Santa Barbara. And not only now, but we see that God has been building a legacy here. We want to continue that legacy. The legacy of CREW in Santa Barbara dates back to 1958. This legacy has produced not hundreds, but thousands of disciples of Christ, and many of them didn't follow Christ when entering college. But why here? Why does God continue to use CREW in Santa Barbara? As college students in Santa Barbara, we figured out the unique balance of being vibrantly social while being rigorously academic. We have the possibility and the responsibility to dramatically affect the future. With UCSB being one of the nation's top universities and Santa Barbara City College ranked as the nation's number one community college, Santa Barbara College students are tomorrow's influencers. We are tomorrow's professionals. Teachers, doctors, lawyers, politicians, artists, even pastors and missionaries. CREW helps us explore our callings to be a light to the world. As a CREW family, we know that there is an unseen battle going on for the hearts and minds of each and every student. Because of this battle, we are relentless, unashamed, and determined to give everyone an opportunity to respond to the gospel. We take risks. We believe Jesus is a source of life to all people. So we go on mission trips to countries where many have never before met a Christian. CREW Santa Barbara continues to be a major sending platform to the world. The college experience is a brief moment, but it is often the place where tomorrow's leaders decide what they will believe and who they will influence for the rest of their lives. This is our moment. We have the potential to do great things, and you are helping to determine where that potential goes next. Donors and volunteers like you are removing the obstacles and destroying the limits of what we are able to accomplish. Through your generous donations, you are making sure that we have every tool and resource we need. You are allowing us to turn the dreams we have into realities. Through us, you are making an eternal impact in an increasing number of lives, year after year. For all you've done, and for all you continue to do for the students of CREW in Santa Barbara, for being a crucial part in helping us respond to God's mission, thank you.
So we just want to say thank you as we just wrap up here. We have about 250, 300 students involved with us, and hopefully more. We have another 5,000 freshmen coming in about a month, and or a couple months. And so you guys can be praying for that. We also have this summer, we've been doing the International Summer Mission briefings and coaching, so that a lot of that's over Skype. And our team that's in Turkey right now, they're trying to figure out how to get home because they're supposed to fly back out of Ataturk Airport, which is in Istanbul, and it's a little sketchy right now, right? And so they're over there. There are college students over there. One of our student leaders I was just texting with him yesterday. How's it going? You guys going to find a flight? You going to go somewhere else? And so you can just be praying for them and their travels back home. But they've already seen someone come to know the Lord in Turkey, and so that's really exciting just from this short little trip. And so you'd be praying for that, praying for that one picture of, it looks like ants scattering. those are all the freshmen from last year's convocation. And we're going to be handing out about 3,000 T-shirts or 3,000 of the freshmen at the convocation. So you can be praying for the distribution of that. And we're just trying to get kind of awareness that there's a Christian club on campus and all that. So there's a lot of things coming up. You can be praying for that. If you're also interested in getting our newsletters, either by email or paper newsletters, we'd be happy to get those to you. So you can come up to me after. I can take down your email address or something like that. And then we also have some magnets in the back. If you're excited about magnets on your fridge or something, they're there. So you can be praying for us. So that's it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, too, Jeff and I are kind of moving more into a leadership role on this with our staff team. Just prayer for trying to lead. We have about a 12-person staff team that then reaches, they kind of oversee the student leaders, oversee the Bible studies in the dorms, and so we have like 50 different Bible studies throughout the campus. So, yeah, that's another way you could be praying for us.
So I want to pray for you guys, but I don't want to do it right this minute. Perfect. Just before we're done, because I think everything I have to say might be pertinent to what we're doing here. I've been kind of, I did a wedding last night, everything I've done this week has never been so well. It just didn't work out to be so well planned. It's like I'd get there and I was like, God was working something else in me, and so I kind of had to take that and run with it. And then today, I knew you guys were coming, but I really had no idea how much time you were going to take and what we were going to do. But what I want to share with you, kind of in the pertinence in this, are two passages of Scripture which are really pertinent to what's going on in our community, what's going on in our congregation, and I think what's going on with you. Just some reminders. So if you have your Bible, I'm sorry I don't have any overheads for this because this is just like here. It's just here. But it's Luke chapter 22. And just these are two like very key passages of Scripture in my life, and I hope that they can stick inside of you and be something that will help inform your life as you face situations. Because I don't think we in the church have learned these very well. We may talk about them, but I don't think we've learned how to live them out. And I know until the last few years, in a new way, I've been living them out in just a different way. And I've seen tremendous fruit happening. That's why I'm involved with Band of Brothers and different things that are going on in my life. Luke chapter 22, verse 24, the gospel reads like this. Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be greatest among them. Without looking any further, like who is that talking about? Who's arguing among themselves about who would be greatest? The disciples, that's right, the disciples, the 12. So that's, like the guys that are closest to Jesus and should know better. I mean, they got to have this stuff down. And it's like they're arguing. And what's amazing to me when you read the Gospels is that they were doing this very same thing during the Last Supper. Gospel of John records that. That during the Last Supper, that evening, You know, I mean, it's like Jesus has already spent 3 years with these guys, training them. They've had this conversation before, and they're falling into it again during the Last Supper. Now, I don't know what that conversation looked like. I mean, really, it's kind of silly when you think, well, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. I got more anointing on my life than you got on your life. What did that conversation sound like? I mean, what did it? I mean, it's like, were they arguing about how much education they had? Were they, you know, well, I have more education. You were just a fisherman. I was a tax collector. I studied accounting, right? I mean, what is it? Maybe it was about, you know, James and John and Peter saying, you know, he took us into special places that he kept you guys out of. You know, if you're familiar with the Gospels, you know. There were times that those three, Peter, James, and John, got to do things the other disciples didn't. So that might have kind of set them on edge, you know. I mean, it's like, hey, I'm the best. I don't know what that conversation sounded like with them, but I do know what it sounds like in the 40 years of my pastoral ministry, working with people, not only in our church, but then in people outside of the church, and then in terms of relationships with church to church. And maybe you guys see it in different college campus ministries. Who does it better? Who has the in? You know, I mean, it's like, why do we slip into this kind of stuff? But we do. It just happens. And here they are doing this conversation. They're arguing among themselves, who would be greatest? So Jesus told them something, and we got to let this get inside of us and actually figure out a way to live it out. Because to live it out means it's going to cost us something. We actually have to make choices to live this out. It doesn't come natural to us. Jesus said these words, verse 25. In this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people. Yet they are called friends of the people. I love this translation, the New Living Translation. It kind of brings it out pretty plainly. You know, it's like the President of the United States, you know, he's got the authority, and he's pretty much the boss of the United States, but he doesn't present him that way. I'm your friend. I'm doing this for you. I'm here to serve you. But, you know, when it all comes out, you know, you recognize that it really isn't lived out exactly quite that way. I don't ride around in a limousine surrounded by all these people. I don't ride, fly in a jet plane, Air Force One, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And that's just the nature of the beast. And so no matter what they call themselves, I think the original translation is benefactors. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. But the reality is, in our world, the people that got the money, the people that are given the orders, they're the great men, and the rest of us kind of do what they say. And that happens in the church as well. Pastors and church leaders, you know, sometimes forget that the church is supposed to be topsy-turvy from that kind of thinking. The pastor is really a servant. We remember the New Testament words that were chosen for leaders in the church, deacon, a bishop, shepherd, like pastor. These words were servant words. A deacon was a table waiter. They chose words for themselves which had to do not with authority, had to do with not being over people and telling them what to do, but they had to do with serving people and giving up themselves so that other people could grow, so that other people could become all that God wanted them to be. So Jesus said, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over people, and they are called friends of the people. But among you, it'll be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant.
I think we're good at announcing or thinking about words like that and agreeing with them, going, yeah, I agree with that, I agree. But living them out is not so easy. Really, right now, in this hour of ministry, on this corner of 9th and Vine, maybe some of the greatest among us are those that are across the way right now holding our babies. Those that are serving our children. At the end of the day of worship, we might even go out of here going, oh, that was so refreshing, that was so great. And they might even be walking out going, phew, man, that was a tough hour. But you got to remember that the people who are serving in those capacities, you know, I mean, if you think about, you know, what we would think about when we get to heaven, you know, there's a special big old place there for Billy Graham. That's where Billy Graham lives. Think about all the thousands of people that he touched and, you know, and that's usually how we think. But I kind of think about it that we're gonna walk in there and there's this huge old mansion with his name on it. And we're going to go, who's that? Who was that? Some of the greatest spiritual leaders are people that nobody knows about. They're always behind the scenes, making other people look wonderful. Maybe the John Preebys of the world, or the Pams back there that's sitting there working the computer so we all can worship. The people that really would step out of their comfort zone so that and serve so that other people could experience and could grow. That's the stuff that makes it work. And that's the stuff that we have to learn to take serious when we're trying to learn to walk with God. Jesus said, among you it'll be different. The greatest among you shall take the lowest rank. And the leader should be like a servant. He says, who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? He says, the one who sits at the table, of course. But then he says, but not here. But not here. For I am one among you as one who serves. I wish that sometimes, I wish we could step into the culture of the New Testament just for a moment and have the feelings of what the New Testament people felt and have the worldview that they had. I think we would read John chapter 13 totally different when Jesus rose from supper at the Last Supper, laid aside his garments, wrapped a towel around himself, grabbed a bowl of water, and went around and started washing his disciples' feet. We read that. We read that stuff, but we read it from our perspective. I mean, it's hard for us to get in and get into the feelings of that particular culture. But if we were sitting in that room, and we knew Jesus the way those disciples knew him, and when he did that, we would have reacted the same way Peter did. In shock, with a question on our lips might even come out, you wash my feet? Ever. You're not washing my feet. That wasn't about Peter was embarrassed about his feet, by the way. That was about he was embarrassed because Jesus was serving him and Jesus was their rabbi. It was like, and Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. Then after it's all over with, he says, you don't know what I've done to you, but you will. And he says, and then you will have an opportunity to do this to others, because this is the life I've called you to. A life that at every day and at every moment, you're laying aside yourself to bless others. The crazy thing about this in Christianity is when you lay aside yourself, you never lose anything. You gain. I don't know how that works, but it does. You know, when you think, wait a minute, nobody will notice my gifts if I do that, if I lay down myself so this person can be, you know, can be exalted, so this person could grow. I mean, nobody will see me. Nobody will recognize me, but God does. and he has some way of bringing forth who you are. The other passage of Scripture is pretty similar. I've sort of applying this in my own life, not just personally, but I'm applying it as our church steps forward into some realms. And we're trying to live this out as a church as well right now. But this Philippians chapter 2 should be pretty familiar to you. But Jesus, again, there's a model for us, and this model was intended not only to happen, it indeed happened, it's the reality of Christianity, but it's intended to be a model for us to do, to live our lives by. I just hate that. When you read Scripture, it always messes with your life. You know? I tell people the same thing about the Lord's Prayer. You know, I mean, I've really grown fond of praying the Lord's Prayer, of using the Lord's Prayer, teaching on the Lord's Prayer. But I mean, the Lord's Prayer is not just a prayer that goes out from us, but it's like it bounces back at us the minute you say the words. How can you say these words, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us"? And you can say them, I suppose. You could say them just like I did as a child, what I heard many people do in church services and stuff like that, and have them just go blah, 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 blah. You know, how come the words? I prayed my prayer. But, you know, if you're paying attention to those words, they bounce back at you, and all of a sudden you go, oh, that's talking to me too. It's not just my prayer. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those. Holy moly, I don't know if I want that, God. You get that? It comes back at you. And that's the thing I hate about Scripture. I love to read it because it feels so spiritual, but I hate it because it's always messing with my life. You know what I mean? How can you read it without, you know, I mean, it's like Jesus didn't have these words out there just for everybody else. So Paul writes in chapter 2, he says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? The obvious answer is, of course. Is there any comfort from His love? Of course. Any fellowship in the Spirit? Of course there is. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Yes. God's been working in me. Make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out. That's a tough one. Have you ever thought about thinking of others as better for yourself? Not in our culture. We don't. Wait a minute. What about me? But, you know, I mean, it's like, wait a minute. What did God model for us? And that's what Paul's taking us here. You don't look out, and if they add the word only here, for maybe that's what they intend, because they're kind of embarrassed by it, just saying, don't look out for your own interests, but take interest in others. So most translations add the word only, because Paul really wouldn't have meant, don't ever think about yourself, you know, only other people. And there's a sense in which that's true. Love others as you love yourself. You got to love yourself before you can really love others anyway. But don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Would you all say that with me? You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. See, he clears it up right there by saying to us, I'm not just going to tell you about Jesus. Now I want to tell you about you. Where He wants to take you. Kind of attitude that Jesus wants to give birth in you. This kind of attitude. Calvin, have this attitude in yourself, which also was in Christ Jesus. So Paul writes now this incredible, it's almost like a hymn. I think it probably was a hymn or became a hymn in the early church. Almost like a confessional creed. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. words that that aren't easy to understand. But what they mean is, he's God, and he's about to come into the world. But when he came into the world, where was he born? In a hospital? Like the finest of hospitals? I mean, think about it. If you're God and you're looking at, okay, I'm going to go into the world now. I'm going to become man and go into the world and save my people. So he's looking out and he's going, let me choose a family to be born into. Who should I choose? This one. They got lots of money, man. They got a big house. They could afford me, right? They could take care of me, right? They got a big house, and they got a car, and they got a swimming pool. Oh, I'd love to be in a swimming pool, you know, when it's hot, you know? And, they got servants to wait on you, and they got, I mean, think about it. What would you have chosen? If you had the choice of anybody you could possibly choose from, you're God, right? And he chose two people that were so poor, when it came time to the dedication offering, all they could offer was a turtle dove. He chose people that didn't even have a home. He chose a guy that was a common laborer, a carpenter. That's what this passage of Scripture is talking about. Though he was God, he didn't cling to that. He didn't come into this world in a godly fashion, in the sense of I am God. And I mean, he didn't ride through the streets on chariots, and he didn't have all the best. And he came as a servant. It says, though he was God, he didn't think equality with God something to cling to, but he gave up his divine privileges. And he took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being. Really? God became man. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with us. I mean, we're good, right? We can move our hands. We can think. We can talk. We can relate. All that. Can you, God, the creator of the universe, became flesh like us? Really was an awakening for me when I started waking up to the incarnation. I remember my first son, my oldest son, Josh. I was a brand new Christian. I was on fire for God. When I held that little baby in my hands, I just remember looking at him and thinking, God became like this. It was incredible to me. He couldn't even talk. Couldn't talk. Josh couldn't talk. I mean, he didn't come out. He didn't go, yeah, hey, great world. I'm glad you're my dad. He came out screaming. Came out needing to eat. Where's mom? I want some milk. He came out needing to be changed. Change me. I'm wet. Can't even do that for himself. Can you imagine God, who created the universe, who created all things, became like that? Helpless. And then when he wants something, he can't do anything but scream. I'm hungry, I'm wet, I'm cold, somebody cover me up. And he wasn't laid in a finest bed. I mean, you know, what the Scripture says is this is where he chose. God, who could have been born anywhere at any time, he's being laid in a manger, a feeding trough, in a barn. If you want to know what barns smell like, take a trip over to the work ranch. Just get close to them. I mean, you know, that's like, whew. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, I'm still reading the Scripture here, it just doesn't sound like. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. But it took that kind of action, you see, to give birth to 2,000 years of people finding new life in Christ. There was no other action. But that action wasn't just about our salvation. That action was also a model for us, that He intends us to live out again and again and again and again. It's interesting that the church 2,000 years ago chose as a symbol for our faith cross. Jesus said to us, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, I know what that's like, because I'm faced with a decision every day when I encounter a person or when I get into a situation or I get, you know, I mean, I had that challenge this morning when nothing was working right, sound system and, you know, computers and things like that, you know, I had that choice then. Was I going to go off and go, you know? Or was I going to take it and convey the attitude of Christ? See, we face those decisions all the time. Walking with Jesus, that's what it's called. The whole action of us even thinking about sharing our church may be inconvenient for us, but it's living this out. When I left my own men's ministry to join with Band of Brothers to go to another church and just become one with the guys there, I made a decision. I didn't have to be the pastor. I didn't have to be in leadership. I could just go because God was telling me to go. Passing an offering for loaves and fishes every Sunday. I know it's confusing. But it's once again, it's like, well, maybe people won't give as much in our general offering because we're passing around the basket for loaves and fishes too. I mean, you know, I know we need money too. I mean, it's like, you know, when we opened the door and said, well, we're just going to pass that basket for loaves and fishes every Sunday because we know that people will forget and just kind of, let's just put it in front of people and let's do something. Let's step in that direction. Let's open our lives to give ourselves away. And we sang that, I give myself away. See? And then on this Sunday, you guys are a great example of that for me, anyway, of giving yourself away. Let's remember, this is real stuff. I can't tell you when you're going to face giving your life away. Doesn't have to be the big things. But you know, we live in a crazy world right now that's getting crazier every day. Think of the events that have happened this last week. Turkey, you've got students in Turkey. Paris and France, I mean. The terrorist activity that's going on there. In our own country, policemen being shot. Sounds like we're going back to the 1960s. There's a shaking going on. Many of us have been praying that an awakening would happen, a spiritual awakening. But really, what has to precede a spiritual awakening is people have to sense that we don't have any answers. We've come to the end of ourselves. And right now, you guys don't realize how important you are in this world. Because somebody needs to live a life where the light shines through them to give people around you hope. And to help them know there is a God who's there. And you can, because you guys are great. I know you don't feel great. I don't think those disciples felt very great when Jesus left them and said, okay, it's your turn. I don't think they felt so great. And a lot of things that happened through them seemed to happen by accident because God was working. It wasn't like they were like trying to do things. It just happened. So that's the story today. I thought that these guys are a great model for us of giving yourself away. But that's not just for special people like them. That's for everyone. I remember when they were just normal guys. And look at them now. They're still normal guys. Whew. So those two passages of Scripture really, really capture my heart. I think they're really key passages to what we're trying to live out and what we will be trying to live out. I hope they can become key passages for your life as well. Jesus loves you so much. Honestly. Let him do his work in you. I'd like to ask you guys to come stand right here. Come stand right here. Because we're going to dismiss here. And before we dismiss, we want to pray over you. I just felt that earlier today, you know, and I know that you're okay with that. But because you're not done yet. You know, there's more to do. And really, the power that they need in the environment that they're in. I mean, you know, they're surrounded by the principalities and powers of intellectual intelligentsia who think that Christianity is so stupid. Do you really believe in God? Are you kidding me? You believe that Bible? I mean, you know, you talk to students all the time that have that kind of attitude. They look down on you, and it's like you guys don't know anything. You guys are so stupid that you would even believe this stuff. And here they are in the middle of that world, shining the light of Jesus Christ. And so they need God's power, and they need our prayers. So I'd like to ask our leaders, our servants council, come up and lay hands on these guys, gather around these guys, and the rest of you stand to your feet and just extend your hands towards them. And while they're coming, I just want to tell you one more thing. See, I don't think I've ever framed it this way before, but I have framed the idea because I love the dismissal of a church. Because the dismissal of a church is more than, okay, our meeting is over now, go home. You know, the dismissal of a church really should end up saying, conveying something like this. We're sending you out. Church begins when you hit the door. Church begins when you hit the door. And this morning when I said that, you know, a new understanding hit me that I hadn't even thought about it in terms of church service and dismissing them. You see, in the Hebrew world, the biblical worldview, the day starts when the sun goes down. Do you know that? There was evening, there was morning, the first day. There was evening, there was morning. In the Jewish world, then, the day starts when the sun goes down. We think it starts when we wake up, in the morning and we step into it. It's a new day! Yes, God, be with me in this new day. God says, the day started a long time ago and you've been sleeping through most of it. And I've been at work. I've already started working. I've been preparing the way while you were slumbering away there, dreaming your dreams and all that. See, I've been at work. You are now stepping into the day that I prepared for you. Isn't that interesting? Change your life. It's at the whole sermon. Leaving church is the same way. See, coming to church is like nighttime. You're here, we're worshiping, we're drawing near to God, but we aren't really doing anything. We aren't really, you know, this is not church. This is like preparation. Church happens when we hit the door. The daylight begins. Catch that. You know, we come here and we think, oh, okay, church is done. Phew, go home, and I can go about my way. I could do whatever I want. No, church is the thing that propels you into the place of ministry, the world in which we live, your neighborhoods, the marketplace, wherever you are, to just be yourself, but shine the light of Christ. So this is all comes now to dismissal. So we're going to pray over you guys, and we're going to dismiss and go eat lunch together, if you want. But let's pray. Just wait upon the Lord for a moment. Lord, just pour your Holy Spirit now over this too. Pour your Holy Spirit. Refresh them, you know, the oil of anointing that comes from you not only brings healing and refreshment, but also brings power and gifting. And Lord, just grant them all that they need. And I want to remind you guys, I was going to be teaching the book of Colossians today, but, you know, because the book of Colossians chapter 2, but what it says in there is simply that this is the great mystery. The great mystery. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Great is he who is in you. God, fill them with your glory, and now fill this church with your glory. And Lord, as we step out to be the church in this world, Lord, help us remember that Christ is in us and that we have something to offer this world. From the least of us, everyone in this church who knows you has something great to offer. So let your blessing be upon your people as we step into this world. Let us be strong and courageous, as the word says, and do what you ask us to do. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.